We'll see.
Please.
Excerpt number one. This is from the writings of Rabash, from what is the herdsman of Abraham's cattle and the herdsman of Lot's cattle in the work. Since in every beginning a person must start over in the acceptance of the kingdom of heaven, it is not enough that yesterday he had faith in the Creator. For this reason, every acceptance of the kingdom of heaven is considered a new discernment. That is, now he receives a part of the vacant space that was devoid of the kingdom of heaven. It follows that now he sorted out a new thing, which did not exist before he took that empty place and filled it with the kingdom of heaven. This is regarded as elevating a new spark into the Kedusha. Finally, from all the ascents, he always raises sparks from the vacant space into the Kedusha. It follows that from each descent, he arrives at a new beginning and raises new sparks. Exit number two. The whole foundation is that one should ask that all of one's thoughts and desires will be only to benefit the Creator. A depiction of lowliness, called Shekhinah in the dust, immediately appears. Hence, we must not be impressed by the descent, since many pennies join into a great amount. This is as we learned. There is no absence in spirituality, rather that it has temporarily departed in order to have room for work and to advance. This is so because every moment that we scrutinize into holiness enters the domain of holiness, and a person descends only in order to sort out more sparks of holiness. However, there is an advice that one should not wait until his degree is lowered for him, and when he feels his lowliness, he goes up again. And that ascent is regarded as...
But rather instead...
Instead, he himself descends and elevates other sparks and raises them into the domain of holiness. It is, as our sages said, before I lose, I search. Meaning, before I lose the situation I'm in, I start searching. It is, as Bala Sulam said about King David, who said, I awaken the dawn. Our sages said, I awaken the dawn, and the dawn does not awaken me. Therefore, the keeping is primarily during the ascent, and not during the descent. During the ascent, we need to extend fear, lest we are pushed out, God forbid. One more, and that's it.
Excerpt number three from the writings of Rabash, what is the meaning of suffering in the work? Our sages said, what I did not lose, I seek. That is, an old man walking bent down, always looking at the ground as though searching for something. He says, I have lost nothing, yet I search. We should interpret, old is he who has acquired wisdom, that is, he is wise who sees the future, since he can come to a descent in order to acquire empty kelim, so the Creator may fill them, or else he will remain in a state of lowliness because he will not feel deficient. Then, when he loses the state of ascent, he begins to seek advice how to ascend in spirituality once more. Therefore, one who is old, meaning wise and sees the future, he begins to search how to ascend in spirituality even before he loses the state of ascent. He begins to follow all the counsels about the ways to ascend on the spiritual degrees. And this is done by seeking deficiencies in the state he is in. In that case, there is no need to throw him down in importance, so he will find and see deficiencies in himself, since he himself will be looking for deficiencies so as to have empty kelim that the Creator may fill.
Or that's also relevant.
Exit number 4 from the writings of Rabash, what is, and Abram was old of many days in the work. One who is wise and wants to save time does not wait until he suffers a descent from above. Rather, while he is in an ascent and wants to acquire the importance of the state of closeness to the Creator, he begins to depict to himself what is a state of descent, meaning how he suffered from being far from the Creator, compared to how he feels now that he's closer to the Creator. It follows that even during the ascent, he learns from the discernments as though he were in a state of descent. At that time, he can calculate and discern between an ascent and a descent. At that time, he will get a picture of the advantage of light out of darkness, or over darkness, since he can create a depiction of how he was back in the state of descent and thought that the whole matter of the work of bestow does not pertain to him, and how he suffered from these states when he wanted to escape the campaign, and only for one place he could get some relief, meaning only from one hope, that he thought, when will I be able to go to sleep? For then he would escape from all the states of impatience when he felt that the world has grown dark on him. Now, during the ascent, he sees everything differently. At that time, he wants to work only for the sake of the Creator, and he has no concern for his own benefit. From all those calculations that he will do during the ascent, it follows that now he has a place where he can discern between light and darkness. And he does not need to wait until he is given from above a state of descent.
We're going to read the writings on Baal HaSulam.
Nikra. Lemashal, חוש הראייה שלנו.
For instance, our sight, while we see a huge world with all the everything in it, we actually don't see it, we only see it inside, meaning in our backside of our brain there is like a copy machine that gives us a picture of everything we see. It's nothing outside of us, it's only inside. And this is how the Creator has made like a mirror inside our brain that shows us everything in front of us up in the upside down way. And still, whatever we see outside of us is not real. And this comes to show us how much we should be thankful to the Creator who has made this mirror inside us so we can see and attain everything outside of us. Because by this, He gave us the force to understand everything, to measure everything inside and outside, etc. Without this, most of our education would be lacking. It is the same about the divine objects, the divine scrutinies. Even though all the changes are done in the internality of the souls that receive, they nonetheless see everything in the one who bestows. Only this way they can receive all the knowledge and all the pleasantness about the thought of creation. You can deduce from this parable that even though we see everything in front of our eyes, every person with brains clearly knows that everything we see is only inside our brain.
It is the same with the souls. Even though all the images they see in the bestower, they have no doubt at all about the fact that it's all inside them. Nothing is in the bestower. Learn well about this, because I cannot elaborate.
What's written there?
While a person gets fear, he should know that there's none else besides him, as it is written. Even witchcraft. And if he sees that fear overcomes him, he should say that, God forbid, there's no chance about it. It's the Creator who gave him an opportunity. And he should study and scrutinize why this fear came to him. It came to him for him to overcome and say there's none else besides him. And even after all this, he still has fear and awe, and he should take an example out of it and say, to the same extent I have fear, I should be serving the Creator. Meaning, the fear of the Creator that he wants to
merit
should be in the same amount of fear that he has now. Meaning, the body is impressed out of the externality.
The dog.
And to the same extent that he has the impression of the body,